It was discovered, for example, that someone had unplugged both the smoke alarm and the heat sensor 2 days before the fire. This had supposedly been done because fumes and heat from the renovation work had been setting off the alarms repeatedly, annoying the workers. The Fenice's sprinkler system had been dismantled before a newly installed system could be activated. The lone guard of the Fenice had not made an appearance at the fire until 9:20 p.m., at least 20 minutes after the first alarm had been called in. He claimed he had been wandering around inside the building, trying to find the source of the smoke. It had also come to light that a small fire had broken out 2 weeks earlier, caused by a blowtorch, possibly on purpose, but the incident had been hushed up. Conspiracy or no, there was ample evidence of negligence, starting with the empty canal. Mayor Cacciari had initiated a commendable and long-overdue plan to dredge and clean the city's smaller canals. However, a year before the fire, the city's prefect, or chief administrator, had sent the mayor a letter warning that no canal should be drained until the city had first secured an alternate source of water in case of fire. His letter had gone unanswered. 6 months later, the prefect sent a second letter. The answer to that one was the fire itself. The dry canal was only part of the story of malfeasance and negligence. People who had been involved in the renovation of the Fenice described the worksite as chaotic. Security doors had been left unlocked or even wide open. People came and went as they pleased, authorized or not. Copies of keys to the front door had been handed out haphazardly, and several were unaccounted for. There was also the curious tale of the Fenice's cafe. Officials had ordered the cafe shut down during renovation, but the cafe manager, Signora Anna Maria Rosato, had begged her bosses to let her keep it open as a canteen for the workers. They had relented, telling her, "Just be careful." So Signora Rosato set up her electric coffee maker and her electric hot plate for making pasta. She moved this makeshift kitchen from room to room, staying out of the way of the renovation work as best she could. But since the fire had started in the Apollonian rooms, very close to the site of her operations of the moment, Signora Rosato and her coffee maker became a media sensation. The police called her in for questioning as a suspect. They cleared her, but not before her unexpected notoriety had made her so resentful that she began suggesting names of other people she thought might be worth looking into as suspects. The workers who had used her stove on the afternoon of the fire, for example. And the conservators who had left powerful heat lamps aimed at wet patches of stucco overnight in order to dry them. All the people she fingered were brought in for questioning and later released. The prosecutors, despite having interviewed dozens of witnesses, admitted to the Gazzettino that at this point they did not know how the fire had started. Prosecutor Felice Casson appointed a panel of 4 experts to investigate the fire and told them to begin work immediately. One thing was already painfully clear, however. Neither of the 2 major evils confronting Venice could be blamed for the fire. Not the rising sea level, which threatened to inundate the city at some unspecified time in the future, nor the overabundance of tourists, which was choking the life out of the city. There had been no high water and hardly any tourists in Venice on the night the Fenice burned. This time, Venice had only itself to blame. According to the Gazzettino, there was to be a town meeting to discuss the Fenice later in the day. It would be held at the Ateneo Veneto, a monumental 16th-century palace on the opposite side of Campo San Fantin from the Fenice. The Ateneo Veneto had originally been the home of a black-hooded fraternal order dedicated to escorting condemned prisoners to the gallows and providing them with a decent burial. For the last 200 years, however, it had served as the Academy of Letters and Sciences, the cultural Parnassus of Venice. Lectures and convocations of the highest literary and artistic significance were held in the ornate Great Hall on the ground floor. For an event merely to be scheduled at the Ateneo Veneto meant that the cultural elite of Venice considered it important.